The supreme role model. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. A model for all in life's every degree. The supreme role model.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another special transmission, Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Noor Sharif transmission on this beautiful channel, Madani Channel. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, today as well we have another splendid topic of discussion. Wherever you are in the world, whichever hemisphere, whichever country, whichever city, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. When you are making dua for yourself, your family and your community, then keep in mind to make dua for the ummah at large. Because in some part of the world, the ummah is going through many difficulties, many challenges. Make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allah jalla jalaluhu grants relief to the ummah. Grants shifa to those who are sick and suffering, and grants protection against the oppressors. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, today we are talking about the character of the one who has the greatest status in the court of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved and your beloved, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Character refinement is part of Islamic teachings. If we look at the blessed character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we learn from that and we translate that into action in our lives, this is part of character refinement. So stay tuned. We will be exploring this topic in a few moments. Let's remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am here, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila or this program on Madani Channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Once again, we have our esteemed Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How is Mawlana Sahib doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well, Mawlana Sahib. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All praises are due to Allah, whatever our condition is.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
We have a splendid topic today.
SubhanAllah.
As always, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will be talking about the great character of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal, there are so many blessings for reciting salawat, durood-e paak, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the ummah, the final prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's mentioned that the one who recites salawat, durood-e paak 1,000 times every day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that this person will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. SubhanAllah. Make an intention that every day I must dedicate some time for my own development, for my own betterment, that every day I must recite some Qur'an-e Pak, Durood-e Pak, Istighfar, making sincere tawbah, seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources and scholars, because these things will help us, especially in the grave and the hereafter, but also in this world. Let's listen to a beautiful kalam and we'll continue inshallah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Jashn-e-meelad hai, jashn-e-meelad hai, jashn-e-meelad hai, jashn-e-meelad hai, marhaba, marhaba, jashn-e-meelad hai. Aa gayi sarkaar, ummat ke gham-khaar, Malik-o-Mukhtaar, aa gayi sarkaar. سردار قیامت مرحبا سالار قیامت مرحبا مختار قیامت مرحبا رحیم قیامت مرحبا نعیم قیامت مرحبا جھومو آ گئی سرکار امت کے غم خوار مالک و مختار آ گئی سرکار مرحبا خوب جھومو آسیوں وہ مسکراتے آ گئے خوب جھومو آسیوں وہ مسکراتے آ گئے شافع روزے جزا اہلوں و سہلم مرحبا جشن میلاد ہے سرکار جشن میلاد ہے مرحبا مرحبا جشن میلاد ہے سرکار آسمانوں پر گئے اور خلد کی بھی سیر کی آسمانوں پر گئے اور خلد کی بھی سیر کی شاہ کا یہ مرتبہ اہلوں و سہلم مرحبا مرحبا جھومو یا رسول سرکار یا حبیب انصار مرحبا نبی ہے دل بڑا مسرور ہے ہر طرف ہے شادمانی رنج و غم کا فور ہے اس طرف جو نور ہے تو اس طرف بھی نور ہے ذرہ ذرہ سب جہاں کا نور سے معمور ہے چھٹ گئے ظلمت کے بادل نور ہر سو چھا گیا چھٹ گئے ظلمت کے بادل نور ہر سو چھا گیا آ گئے نور خدا اہلاً و سہلاً مرحبا 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 آ گئے سرکار اے رسول غم خوار مالک مختار اے حبیب سرکار مرحبا مرحبا مومنوں وقت ادب ہے آمد محبوب رب ہے جائے آداب و طرب ہے آمد شاہ عرب ہے اٹھو آیا تاج والا عرش کی آنکھوں کا تارا سب کہو اے ماہ طیبہ صلوات اللہ علیکہ دو جہاں کے شاہ کی شاہی سواری آ گئی دو جہاں کے شاہ کی شاہی سواری آ گئی رحمتوں کے وہ خزانے اب لٹاتے جائیں گے اب لٹاتے مرحبا مرحبا آ گئے سرکار مرحبا مرحبا تجھ کو مبارک شاہ کا میلاد ہو آمینہ تجھ کو مبارک شاہ کا میلاد ہو تیرا آنگن نور بلکہ گھر کا گھر سب نور ہے مرحبا جشن میلاد ہے سرکار جشن میلاد ہے مرحبا مرحبا جشن میلاد ہے سرکار خوب گاتی تھیں ترانے دف بجا کر بچیاں خوب گاتی تھیں ترانے دف بجا کر بچیاں طلع البدر علینا من سنیات الوداع وجب الشکر علینا ما دعا خوب گاتی تھیں ترانے دف بجا کر بچیاں ہر طرف کہتی تھی خلقت مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ
مرحبا یا
مرحبا
جھوم یا رسول سرکار یا حبیب خان یا رسول اختار یا حبیب سرکار
جھنڈے ہرے ساری گلیاں روشنی سے جگمگاتے جائیں گے ذکر میلاد مبارک کیسے چھوڑیں ہم بھلا جن کا کھاتے ہیں انہی کے گیت گاتے جائیں گے
دھوم ہے عطار دھوم ہے عطار دھوم ہے عطار
دھوم ہے عطار ہر سو شاہ کے میلاد کی دھوم ہے عطار ہر سو شاہ کے میلاد کی جھوم کر تم بھی پکارو مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ
مرحبا یا
مرحبا
جھوم گئے سرکار
اے رسول خمتار
مالک الحبار
اے حبیب
سرکار
سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
سالار کی آمد
مرحبا
مختار کی آمد
مرحبا
رحیم کی آمد
مرحبا
نعیم کی آمد
مرحبا
مرحبا اے رسول خدا
مرحبا
مرحبا اے حبیب خدا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عزوجل I'm sure you would have enjoyed that beautiful kalam and these types of kalams of course above all kalamullah the glorious Quran we should listen to the praises of almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the praises of the beloved rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam the praises of the sahaba ikram ahlul bayt and awliya Allah and get your kids used to listening to these types of kalams to further embed the love of the nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in the pious ones in our hearts Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, take us all for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif time and again. You may hear people asking a question. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we as Muslims, we have Iman. We only worship Allah Azza wa Jal. We follow the final Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. We try to embrace his Sunnah as much as we can. So we have the answers already. But you may hear somebody out there, or even a Muslim who does not have proper Islamic knowledge, that whom should I follow? Whom should I follow to live this short life to gain the maximum benefits? Now, every one of us, we need a perfect example. We need somebody to follow. If we don't find that person because we're not looking in the right places, we could end up following any type of influencer on social media or any type of person that we feel that this person is successful. This person has leadership qualities. Subhanallah. But that may just be contained or confined to this world. What about the hereafter? So if somebody may imagine a personality in his mind and start following that individual, but there would be a lot of faults in that person. One basic need is a real life example, a perfect example, that's none other than the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Quran teaches us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Suratul Ahzab, verse 21, indeed for you, following of the Messenger of Allah is the best for one who has hope in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah in abundance. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had the ethics which bear the stamp of divine authenticity. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a model of perfect conduct and character for the entire of humanity. The very life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only example which displays leadership qualities, which is actually followed by the greatest people of this world, by people in influential positions. They are actually following the leadership qualities of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look at his character, when we look at his disposition, his demeanor, from every single angle, you will find it to be the best that nobody can compare to his character. His character as a father, as a grandfather, as a husband, as a leader, as a ruler, you name it, he displayed the best example in those fields. So why are we looking here and there? Who must I follow? Oh, this person sounds so eloquent. This person here, he's successful. What is our definition of success? Is it confined only to this world? Or true success and ultimate success is if a person leaves this world with iman. And who has the strongest iman? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. His character is the standard. The Quran mentions, and certainly you, O beloved, are on an excellent standard of character.
Subhanallah.
The Quran is teaching us, showing us, you're looking for the standard of excellence in character. It lies nowhere but in the life of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at his character in terms of his mercy, that he's a mercy not only to the Muslims, but even to those who reject him, even to the animals, even to nature, in fact, to the entire universes. That's part and parcel of who he is, part of his character. The Quran mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 107, and we did not send you, O beloved Prophet, but as a mercy for all the worlds, all the universes. Masab, this we just mentioned a brief intro actually.
Subhanallah.
Of what our standard should be if we want to develop and refine our characters, then the only way we can truly do it and to do justice to it is if we follow the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his perfect character.
And you know, Masab, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked regarding the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very beautifully she replied, character and the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that of the Holy Quran. Each and every action of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in accordance to the teachings of the Holy Quran. And a very important aspect to always remember for one and all is that a person's character, a person's conduct defines who they are.
That's a good point.
If a person does not have good character, does not have good conduct, and has this habit of, you know, insulting everyone and using foul language, etc., hurting the feelings of others, then who would want to be in the company of such a person?
Allahu Akbar.
Because that kind of a character It's like you are going through a very dark tunnel in which there is no light.
Right.
That's a dark tunnel. Wherein if someone has a very beautiful character, a very beautiful conduct, you know, is loving towards one another, he talks sweetly towards everyone in a loving way. Yes, it attracts people. Now everyone would want to be in the company of this person. Why not? Because even if he is rich, not because of his money or his wealth, no, but just because how the person is, just because of how the conduct of a person is, the way he carries out himself.
So his behavior, what he says, how he says it, his welcoming,
100%.
Mashallah.
All that are attractive towards others. And this is what gets others close to him and makes others fond of his company as well.
Right.
So it's important for us, this is how you were saying, Mona Sahib, if we want to have good character, if we want to implement good conduct in our lives, then the best and greatest role model for us is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, not only the believers knew about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also testified on the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They also knew that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was merciful, he was gentle, he was forgiving, he was tolerant. They knew he had all of these noble characteristics in him. So this was, you know, the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is so much more to it.
It says a lot when your enemy is acknowledging your great character.
Yes.
One thing is that your friend, somebody you know,
right,
is praising you that, hey, so nice character, so lovely you speak. But your enemy, the one who hates you, the one who is causing difficulties for you, the one who is slandering you, insulting you, calling you a magician, calling you, na'udh billah, a madman, calling you insane, and all of these, you know, this assassination of the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but still they were forced to acknowledge that he is Al-Amin, he is As-Sadiq.
You know, just this here also shows, you know, the great character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even his enemies testify to it.
Al-Amin As-Sadiq, if those don't know, means the one who is trustworthy and truthful. Even his enemies, his arch enemies, would leave their valuable possessions in the safety and security of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, imagine, your enemy is doing this. The one who doesn't like you, the one who is boycotting you, the one who is putting obstacles in your path, and subhanAllah, spreading rumors about you. But still, that person will bring their valuables because they know the one who is the most trustworthy with my valuables is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the most truthful. That is part of character as well. To speak the truth, it shows a lot about a person that if they lie or they are habitual liars, what happens? Their own character, they lose their credentials, they lose their credibility, they lose their respect. But look at the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how he displayed truthfulness in its entirety. Because he came with the truth,
yeah,
the truth of Islam, the truth of the Quran, the truth that there is only one worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically displayed these things. As Mawlana Sahib is saying, his mercy was overflowing. He would forgive people. He would educate the masses. He would create platforms where people, it was easy for them to develop themselves by educating them with knowledge of the Quran, with his blessed sayings, his blessed ahadith as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. He wouldn't just criticize people. In fact, if somebody did something which was against the Sharia, then he would be serious and against that.
Right.
And he would say, he wouldn't insult the person and why this person has done this, or why that person has said this. No, why are people doing this? Generally, why are people saying this when it is wrong? In that way, in order to conceal their faults, to hide them. So maybe that person is sitting there. Mm-hmm. He'll get the message. He will repent. He will make tawbah. So this is part of the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that when he was invited somewhere for a meal, whatever food was presented, Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never criticized any food which was presented to him. But he would eat it if he liked it. Otherwise, he would just leave it without expressing any dislike. Because the host, maybe that's all they could afford. Okay. So in order not to hurt the feelings of the host, he didn't say anything bad. Are you and I doing that? If I go to somebody's house and I see they prepared one dish only, you call me all the way over here and only one simple dish, dal and rice maybe.
But dal and rice also tastes good. It's very tasty.
MashaAllah. So the point is that, you know, are we there to criticize, or the very fact the person took the time out to prepare that dish or order that dish and invited you home, thank the person. At least, even if you don't like it, keep quiet. You know, and you'll be rewarded for your patience, inshallah ta'ala.
You know, Masab, that also falls under having good character as well.
Absolutely.
You know, whether you go to someone's house, or like if you're going to someone's house, whether there is a lot of food or there is less food, even if there's less salt in the food or there's more salt in the food,
right,
still in these circumstances, a person should not complain. They should rather be grateful for it. As you know, these are the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you mentioned something very beautiful, Mullah Sahib, and that is that when a person would go against the Sharia, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would generally speak about it in order not to expose that person.
Right.
And this is something very important for us to take a lesson from.
Yes.
That, you know, nowadays we see that if someone, you know, does wrong or does something, then we want to straight away expose him. You know, expose him and judge him, etc. But look at the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it in such a loving and affectionate way that it would cause others to mend and change their ways as well. And the reward, you know, for not exposing the faults of others, it's mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one who exposes the fault of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose him on the day of Qiyamah. And we do not want to be exposed on the day of Qiyamah. We also must not expose the faults of others as well, because even this falls under having good character.
You know what happens now? In many circles,
right,
a person is bored.
Mm-hmm.
They heard something, by the way, from the grapevine. He so and so, you know, he did this or he said this here, and they run with it. It's a juicy gossip, but it falls in the category of backbiting.
100%.
Now, if it's something negative about your fellow Muslim in their absence, and they justify, no, but it's what I said is correct. And now you realize the character of that person.
Right.
Just by this person backbiting about another Muslim, or even slandering and insulting another Muslim, especially in their absence, you get to know what kind of a person does that.
And you can't trust such a person.
You lose your credibility. Anymore, exactly. Yes. You lose your credibility. Your own respect is tarnished. Because now people know you as the backbiter. People know you as a liar. Because in Islam, there's no such thing as white lies.
Right.
Islam is the truth and encourages only to speak the truth, even if it's against yourself. So people use this as a formula of entertainment.
Yes.
Let's talk about him. Okay, who are we going to talk about now? This person, that person. You know, so it shows, unfortunately, the character of that individual, that where it all starts, in the mind. If the mind is negative, negative things are going to come
absolutely
out. Negative actions, negative talks and words are going to come out. But if you think good, you will speak good, you'll do good, and good things happen, inshallah ta'ala.
And Masab, you know, everyone wants respect. everyone runs after respect. Mm. Everyone, you know, wants success, runs after success. How do you attain all of that by not doing so much, you know, physical effort?
Right.
A beautiful way is to firstly check your character.
Mm.
You know, if your character is good, if your conduct is good and it is in order, then automatically, without even you demanding for respect, respect will come to you.
Yes.
So this is something, you know, that we have to also pay attention to. Instead of looking at what's big, we need to focus on the small steps. And these are the building blocks. These are the building steps to right. take in order to make our character good as well.
In fact, what you just mentioned now is so important. You know, as a Muslim, one of the best ways to invite others to Islam is through your character.
Yes.
Even 100%. Without saying anything, even without doing anything, but just your demeanor, your disposition, the way you talk to people, the words you choose. Am I using nice words, good words, the best words, according to the person's understanding? Or am I like some of those individuals, you get some influences on social media and they are only confined towards worldly things, you know, temporary worldly things of money and wealth and these kind of things. And you see, or you hear people say that these guys, they just use vulgar words, obscene words, because it's coming from the mind is not clean.
Right.
That's where it's coming from. If they cannot use or they don't use these words, they feel like I'm lacking the confidence.
Yeah, they feel insecure.
They feel insecure. Right. So they have to express themselves in this way. It's a sign of insecurity and it shows their character, especially internally, their mind, their thought procession.
Mm.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam never ever used any type of bad language. And he is the perfect ideal role model. He is the most influential human being on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
From every angle, he is the best, the most perfect. Whether it's his character, whether his speech, his actions, you name it. And in here we're talking about the speech, the speaking. You know, Sahaba Ikram Alim Ridwan, they would just love to be in his company.
Allah,
you know, like
Allah.
How moths are attracted to a candle, but without comparison. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out of his blessed home, hey, Sahaba Ikram, you know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and reminds me, subhanAllah azza wa jal, that he would always see the blessed countenance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was always with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the first Khalifa of Islam, the closest bosom friend of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was asked that, what is your greatest desire? Now I want to pause here. If somebody asks you, what's your greatest desire? You say, oh, you know what? I would love to have that car, that specific car, or that specific phone. Now, if you got that car or you got that phone that you desire, and now somebody asks you, what's your greatest desire? Will you say the same thing? That specific car, that specific phone? But you already have it, you won't say the same thing. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam, when he was asked, what is your greatest desire? He said that my greatest desire is to look at the blessed face of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
SubhanAllah.
He would see all the time. He was in the company all the time. But still his greatest desire was to look at the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed countenance, his bright and beautiful face, his beautiful, wonderful smile, just to be in his company. He was the most positive person there. SubhanAllah.
You know, once we're speaking about the bliss speech of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he did not hurt anyone, he did not use foul language,
yes.
You know, his speech was pure. And regarding this, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I remained and stayed in the service of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a period of 10 years.
SubhanAllah.
10 years.
10 years.
And in these 10 years, not once did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever ask me that, why did you not do this?
Like reprimand or scold
yes.
him.
Yes.
Ah, Allah.
And he's continued for 10 years. And he says, not once did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever ask me that, why did you leave this out?
Subhanallah.
Look at this beautiful conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that position of authority. Right? And when we look at nowadays time, the people of authority, if something is not done according to how they want it, then they would ask, why is it not done like this?
Right.
Why haven't you done it? Why this? Why that? But the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something else. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of reprimanding, he would always advise in the most beautiful of ways that would even melt one's heart.
Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, are you listening regarding the character, the great character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how his conduct was, how he would behave with those around him? Subhanallah. Their desire was to always be in his blessed company. Today you're going to get people who have no proper understanding of Islam, no proper knowledge of Islam. They will label, na'udhu billah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some negative titles. But the poor fellow doesn't know who the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. The poor fellow doesn't know what message he brought, the message of Islam, the message of truthfulness. Allah give guidance to those who are lost in the darkness of confusions.
Mm-hmm.
Allah keep us on the straight path. You know, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of his character we mentioned was mercy and his enormous ability to forgive, to tolerate, his forbearance, his resilience to bounce back despite what difficulties were there in front of him. Whatever my problem is that I'm facing in my life, whatever problems you are facing in your life, can never ever equal or come even close to the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. Never. Just a cursory study of the seerah will reveal to you how difficult days those were, especially in the Makkan period. For him and for Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. But he didn't give up. He did not give up. People physically assaulted him, boycotted him, emotionally, psychologically, tried their best to bring him down, called him different names, insulted him. From that time it is. Not just today's people are just continuing in the footsteps of those disbelievers who used to insult him. But today there are about 2 billion Muslims in the world.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And it's growing, it's expanding rapidly. You plan and Allah plans. The best of planners is Allah. Don't forget that. The plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, who can stop it? You think some human being who's going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can stop it with their placards or with the different types of cartoons that they make or with their speech or with their protests or with their ill thoughts, ill feelings, ill actions?
Even in a subtle way, they can't stop.
They can't. Many like those people have come and gone into the dustbin of history. The dustbin of history, they're gone, forgotten. Nobody worries about them, nobody cares about them. But those who have attached themselves to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we remember them today. Hose Pak rahmatullah alayhi, Khaja sahab rahmatullah alayhi, Data sahab rahmatullah alayhi, all the awliya, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu. We remember them today. The Khulafa Rashideen, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt. They connected themselves to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever was against had gotten forgotten. We don't know their names. Some of them, those whose names we know, unfortunately for them, they know where they are currently. The pain and punishment continues for them. So don't be on the wrong side of the tracks. If you're on the wrong side, the train is going to come and flatten you. So just be careful for this. We're talking about the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is important is that it's not sufficient to just learn about it. That's the starting point, to learn, to understand it correctly. and then to implement it in your life. That's the next part. And don't even stop there. Then share it with others. Starting in your household. Mahasab mentioned something so important, that when Ummul Mu'mineen, our mother, the mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, was asked, what did she say?
كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ.
How beautiful that sounds even.
SubhanAllah, short and sweet.
Short and sweet, sweet and short, SubhanAllah, MashaAllah. His character was the Qur'an. Today people want to study the Qur'an. And if you don't study the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who do you show that has translated the Qur'an practically in their life? He's the starting point. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the orders of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those things to abstain from, it was found in his very life. And this is what we call the sunnah. The sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living, subhanallah. If you are looking, and part of character as well, is courage and bravery. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was the best among the people, both in shape and character, and was the most generous of them, and was the bravest of them. At night, once in Medina Tayyiba, Zadahallahu Sharufu wa Ta'zeema, people got scared and frightened because of a certain sound. The people, they tried to locate where that sound is coming from, whilst they had this fear. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having gone to that place of where the sound was coming from before the people, met them and told them, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He was soft-hearted, soft-spoken, very polite to every person. Whoever came in touch with him, came in contact with him, spent some time in his company, did not want to leave his company. So don't listen to all these people out there that say negative things, because their mind is full of negative things. So negative things are spewed out. Learn from those who were around the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who wrote, who stated in the blessed ahadith, in the sayings and the narrations about who he was, his traits, his qualities, his character, how tolerant he was, subhanAllah azza wa jal, and how he understood the people around them and conversed with them according to their understanding as well.
SubhanAllah. You know, Masab, speaking of the tolerance and the forgiveness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever took revenge out of his own personal self.
SubhanAllah.
If someone did something bad to him, or someone hurt him, insulted him, he did never ever took revenge for that. But what was the response of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua by saying, oh Allah, guide my people, for they do not know who I am. Allah, Allah. This was, you know, the tolerance and the forgiveness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such that, you know, when in the early days of Islam,
right,
when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going there to spread the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the chiefs of Taif, they heard that there is a man going around and he is propagating this new religion called Islam. So they commanded and they told the people of the town of Taif and children as well, that when you all see him, when all of you see him, then pick up pebbles and stones in your hands and throw it at him. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he enters the city of Taif. As soon as he entered, all of the people, even small little children, they picked up stones in their hand and they started throwing it at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned and it's recorded in the books of Sirah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was bleeding so much. Allahu Akbar. But even at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pick up a stone and throw it at them. You know, if in today we are in a situation where in someone, you know, even by mistake too, leave alone purposely, even by mistake, someone throws a small pebble at us, we would want to pick up a handful of stones and throw it back at that person. Allah. Even if it may be a brick for that matter, we would want to throw it back at that person. This is, you know, the responses of nowadays. But the akhlaq, the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us something else. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on a mountaintop. And at that time, Jibreel alayhi salam comes by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if you command me, I would tell the two angels of these mountains to crush the people of Taif. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the authority. He could have said, yes, crush them. They caused so much pain upon me. They inflicted so much difficulty upon me. But rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that leave them. Do not do anything to them. Because in the generations to come, they would accept the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will accept me as the final prophet.
Allah.
I mean, look at this tolerance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at his mercy, at the conquest of Makkah.
Right.
When Makkah al-Mukarramah got conquered, all of those people who inflicted pain, difficulty, insulted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, caused harm to his family members, all of them were present at the conquest of Makkah. And they were frightened. They started to tremble that what is going to now happen to us? That now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has conquered Makkah and he can do whatever he wants with us. He can punish us, he can make us do that, he can make us do this. We don't know what we are expecting. But the response of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that he told all of them, do not be frightened. All of you are forgiven.
Allah.
He didn't take revenge on any one of them at all. And it's mentioned also that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was on his mount, on his ride, and he lowered his head so much that his blessed beard nearly touched the saddle of his mount.
Allahu Akbar.
This was, you know, the humility and humbleness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Well, dear viewers and listeners, have you heard that? I mean, that is enough to inspire any person. That the ability is there to take revenge. The capability is there, the force is there, the numbers are there. But what does he do? If anybody is still thinking about that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of taking revenge, then he is a liar. You must know, you must stamp it on his forehead, he is a liar. I mean, that is, where else are you going to find an incident, an example like this? Show me in the annals of history. You will never be able to show something like this. The same people who hurt him, harmed him, his family, and his companions, alayhim ridwan, who boycotted them where they were eating the leaves of trees.
Allah.
The same people who used to put the intestines of camel on him when he was performing salah, when he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same people who harmed him like you cannot imagine, who made many Sahaba as shaheed, who oppressed them. But today, I forgive you. You are all free, don't worry. Subhanallah. That's a lesson for the entire of humanity. Forgiveness, tolerance, forbearance, patience, resilience.
Yes.
He did not give up. You know, when a person gets authority or becomes especially super influential or super wealthy, many a times, if the person is voted in as the authority of a certain place or region, then you would see they will stay in a presidential suite, a lovely home. They will have lots of protocols and bodyguards around them. They will like to dine at the best of places, travel with security, their own private jets, etc. They will live a luxury lifestyle. I ask you, and this is connected to the character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his simplicity, his humbleness, his humility, for us to learn from and implement. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a time came when he was the ruler of the entire of Arabia. He was the supreme leader, ruler of the entire Arabian Peninsula. How did he live? Did he have a mansion? Did he have as many horses and camels as he desired? How many treasure boxes he had full of gold? Because Sahaba would do anything for him. They would sacrifice their own lives. Subhanallah. So how did he live? He lived an austere, simple life. To the extent that sometimes months used to go by and the fire was not kindled in the home.
Allahu Akbar.
Do you know what that means? That he used to survive on what? There's a narration that Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that we used to survive on two things, two dark things, water and khajur.
Allahu Akbar.
And it will go for weeks or months. You try it out. We should try it out. If you truly want to understand it, imagine trying that out. That for one, at least 1 week, leave months, 1 week. Only khajur, dates, and water. For breakfast, for lunch, for supper. We lose weight.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. But I mean, it will be difficult for us. Extremely difficult. Just for do it for one day. Now, I want you to imagine that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has been given the treasures or the keys to the treasures of the heavens and the earth, who was the great ruler, who the Sahaba ikram alayhimul ridwan would lay down their lives for, and many of them, they were super wealthy and rich, like Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu an, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu an. Subhanallah, they, if they wanted, could shower him. But he did not come to live a life of luxury. He came to live a life in obedience to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And you know, Masab, he was actually, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually granted two options by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to either to live a life like a king or like a bondsman. Mm. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the life of a bondsman.
It was a choice.
Yes, it was his choice.
Subhanallah. So you and I can choose. Look, there's nothing wrong in earning money, in being wealthy, as long as the sources are halal.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong in that. You know where the problem is? Now, I'm in this category of people. In the 1% of my area. So I'm not going to hang around with the people who are below me, below my financial status, because I'm rubbing shoulders with big people. So I'm a big person also. So in that way, it can corrupt a person where the pride is going to come out. Arrogance is going to come out. But whose way is this? Is this part of the character of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Of course not. He was humble. He displayed humility for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was simple. He lived an austere life. But we come to know pride is the way of shaitan. Before shaitan, there was no shaitan. So how shaitan became shaitan? I am better than him. Ana khayru min. His pride, his arrogance, his pride made him who he is, the cursed one, permanently cursed, never to return. He is mahroom. He is completely deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no chance for him to make tawbah. He's never going to make tawbah. And so he's destined forever to abide in the fires of hell for eternity. So if I'm displaying pride and arrogance and I'm better than you and a superiority complex, who am I following? As a Muslim, I'm talking about. Who am I following? My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or shaitan? Subhanallah. What's going to happen to me if I follow shaitan? Well, if you're following him, you know where you're going to end up. And if you're following the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, we will get Jannah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, even today and in the past, those who were not even Muslims, maybe they were historians or professors, or they studied different fields, different sciences, they even acknowledge it. They place him, there's a book, the 100 it's called.
Right.
And the author of the book is not a Muslim. And he mentions the 100 most influential people in history.
Ooh.
Guess who's number one? Guess who he puts as number one in his book? This you can go and check it out yourself. The beloved Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Even the ones who don't follow him acknowledge he is number one. And you know, I was reading the other day that in certain encyclopedias, it's mentioned there that the most famous baby name for sons, first name for sons, for babies, is Muhammad.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the status of His beloved in so many different ways that even those who don't follow Him have to acknowledge it. Subhanallah. So we have covered certain angles of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His mercy, His tolerance. We mentioned Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. We mentioned about His simplicity, that how He lived a simple life, how brave He was, how courageous He was. And you know what? Another aspect of His character, His complete trust in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely. There was no shadow of doubt. You know, will Allah help me? There was no doubt. How shaitan puts doubts in our minds, in our hearts. Oh, let's try this out. Let's try, let's make dua, see what happens. Let's read this wazifa, see what happens. Don't test Allah. Don't test Allah, trust Allah. So test and trust. Which one am I doing? Which am I guilty of? Testing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether I get it or not? Or do I have full yaqeen and reliance and trust in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because at the end of the day, who is truly in control? Who is the one in charge? Who is the opener of doors? Who is the creator of opportunities? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants to open a door for you, who can stop it? Who can close that door? So trust Allah azza wa jal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the number one when it came to putting his reliance and trust in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A part of his character, we mentioned, were his good words. Only good words used to come out. No bad words, no evil, no slander, no obscenities, no lies. He never ever spoke a lie in his life. He's ma'soom. only the angels and the prophets of Allah are ma'soom, meaning not just sinless, but incapable of committing sins. Yet, he would make istighfar every day. Why? To teach you and I. And this is part of character building. If we want to refine our character, we need to acknowledge our sins. That's the first step of tawbah.
Absolutely.
To admit, to acknowledge your sins, and then to make a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have remorse, to have regret, and promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of not doing those sins again. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught you and I this concept of tawbah. In fact, he mentions, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamal la dhambala, that the one who sincerely repents in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he did not commit any sin.
Subhanallah.
This brings us to something else, which is also part of his disposition, that he was naturally extremely generous. There was nobody more generous than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at the different narrations, there are so many, in fact. A Bedouin comes, a villager, and subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, he comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wearing a lovely shawl. And so he holds the shawl and he pulls it so hard that it scrapes the blessed body of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leaving a mark. And on top of that, he demands, give me something from the Baytul Mal.
Allahu Akbar.
Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan are there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have scolded that person, but that was not his character. That was not his conduct. Same time, he smiled. Somebody does it to us, we are going to smile? Subhanallah. So he smiled and he ordered something from the Baytul Mal to be given to that person. He was extremely overflowing in his generosity. Jima Sahab, the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the Madani pearls can we share?
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so gentle, was so loving, affectionate, and you know, when it came to his blessed wives as well, you know, for those who are husbands, if they want to know how to be a good husband, for those who are fathers, if they want to know how to be a good father, then they should look at the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's take for instance Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a father. How he was as a father. It's mentioned that when Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha would visit the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of love for his beloved daughter, he would stand up. He would kiss her and he would let her sit where he was sitting.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
This was, you know, the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the relation Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with his beloved daughter Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter, would go to the house of his beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, she would also do the same. She would kiss his hands and she would also see to him where she would be seated. I mean, look at this, at the love between a father and his child. You know, this is how one should also be. They are fathers, they should be in this way to their children as well. And then we come to the aspect we take the role of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a husband, how he was with his wives. And it is narrated from Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha that she says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask me for a cup of water, I would give it to him, and he would drink from the exact same spot where I had drunk.
Allahu
Akbar. Look at how loving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was towards his blessed wives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not abuse them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not insult them, nor did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hurt them. This is how we need to be as well, not to hurt our wives, not to insult them, not to degrade them, because Islam has given respect to women, you know, and their status is high in Islam. So we always must be loving to our women folk, loving to our wives as well.
MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. So we are elaborating on some very important points for us regarding the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think we'll take a short clip now, inshallah, so we can learn more from this short video clip. Stay tuned, we'll be right back, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mawlidun Nabi, the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and rejoicing thereupon. This has been a practice of the Muslims right from the early generations. But let me describe to you an amazing example of a blessed individual who celebrated the Milad Sharif of the Prophet ﷺ on a grand level in his time. Let's go back 800 years. There was a king known as Al-Muzaffar Abu Sa'id bin Zain al-Din. He passed away in 630 Hijri. And he was the Sultan of Erbil. Now this person, he was God-fearing, he was a scholarly king, and he was devoted to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, many, many ulama have written in their books how Sultan Muzaffar was the first to carry out this act of celebrating Milad on a grand scale and spending large amounts of money in conducting Mawlid gatherings. So for example, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says that Sultan al-Muzaffar Abu Sa'id, he would organize grand Milad gatherings to commemorate the birth of the Prophet alayhi salam. Sheikh Abu al-Khattab Umar bin Dihya rahmatullahi alayhi, he penned a book regarding Mawlid, and he titled it At-Tanweer fi Mawlid al-Bashiri wal-Nadir. Now Abu Sa'id, meaning the Sultan, he proceeded to give this scholar as a gift 1,000 dinars for writing this work, subhanAllah. And he would spend 300,000 dinars on Mawlid gatherings every year and 100,000 dinars on guest houses for the attendees, subhanAllah. Other ulama have written how the very same king, he would ensure that when the 12th night arrived, fortresses and castles were lit up with an immense number of lamps to celebrate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Gifts would be given to ulama, sufiya, mashaykh. And along with this, it's narrated by the grandson of Ibn al-Jawzi, Imam Shamsuddin Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi. And he states that 5,000 goats, 10,000 chickens were cooked for the Milad gathering. 100,000 bowls of milk were also available, as well as 30,000 trays of sweet dishes. SubhanAllah. This pious king would celebrate Milad on this grand scale. And which ulama have written regarding him? Imam Zahabi in Tariq al-Islam, Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Salihi in Subul al-Huda wal-Rashad, Allama Abdul Hay bin Ahmad al-Ma'ruf al-Hanbali in Shadarat al-Dhahab, Imam Qastalani in Sharh al-Zurqani ala al-Mawahib, Abu Dhar Ahmad bin Ibrahim in Kunuz al-Dhahab fi Tariq Halab, Jamaluddin Muhammad bin Salim al-Hamawi in Mufarrij al-Qurub fi Akhbar Bani Ayyub. And other scholars have even mentioned this pious king in their books as well. For example, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes and he states that celebrating the Prophet's birth in expansive gatherings was a practice initiated by the king of Erbil, Al-Muzaffar Abu Sa'id. His name is included in the upper echelons of kings and rulers. So subhanAllah, it just goes to show that this is not a new practice from our age. where Milad is celebrated on a grand scale. In fact, 800 years ago, you had this pious king who would celebrate it in that beautiful manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the same barakat and enable us to also conduct Mawlid gatherings like this.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azawajal, always something to learn. At every turn, there's something to learn. This is the wonderful environment of Dawat Islami. So if you're not involved in any of the work and activities or courses and classes, then join today. And then you'll see, subhanAllah Azawajal, that at every turn, there's something to learn. We are talking about the great character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I came across a beautiful hadith here where the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, indeed, the dearest of you to me and the closest to me in the hereafter will be the one who has the best character. And the most disliked of you and the farthest from me will be the one who has the most ill-mannered amongst you. My dear viewers and listeners out there, imagine that person will be very near and dear to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, whose character is good, whose character is well refined, and that person who will have an ill character, bad character, will be the farthest away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what are some of the ways that we can try to develop ourselves? The best investment that you can make is in yourself. And never ever stop empowering yourself with authentic knowledge. Never ever stop developing yourself. There are certain ways, of course, that one can develop the character, refine it. And of course, our standard is the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a sunnah. Because the sunnah is not something just to learn. It's something that we learn, we understand, we practice, and we share with others as well. Are there any other tips you can share with us, inshallah?
Well, Munasab, one of the other ways one can improve the character and conduct is also by reading the seerah, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because by reading the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one's love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increases even more. And then they would want to implement whatever they read in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, Masab, one of the beautiful qualities in the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that of sympathy and empathy. You know, and sympathy we see many doing. Right? Sympathy is, you know, where you acknowledge someone else's pain. Yeah. You just acknowledge it. Mm. Empathy, on the other hand, is apart from just acknowledging it, you actually feel what they are going through. You put yourself in their place. Right. And this was a very beautiful characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, being empathetic. And we learned this from the incident wherein once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passes by the boy, he sees him that he is crying. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He gets off his mount. He goes to the small boy and he asks him that, "Oh young boy, why are you crying? Why are you so sad? What is making you cry?" And this young boy, he says that my father went for an expedition and he got martyred. This is the reason why I'm crying. Yeah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, "Would you be happy if I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be your father? Would you be happy if Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is your mother?" You know, look at how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed empathy towards this young child. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him as his own and comforted this child. So this is one way that we also, you know, must implement in ourselves as well, sympathy and empathy.
Right, right.
And the other way, Mona Sahab, is by having good company.
Oh.
You know, because a person's company certainly has an impact on them, certainly has an effect. If one's company is bad, how would that person want to get good character? Even if his character is good, but if his company is bad, sooner or later, he would end up like how the how his company is, which is bad.
It is said that, you know, show me who your friends are, I will show you who you are. Because as-suhbatu mu'athiratun, the company affects one. Even if, as you said, if you are good, when people look at your company, he's one of the rotten apples. Yeah. You know,
100%.
So, subhanAllah, whatever you are saying, it's so practical. And if a person out there is wondering that where do I find this good company? You know, everywhere I turn, there's negativity, there's confusion, there's so much of immodesty, immorality. So where can they find this good company?
SubhanAllah, so they can find this good company in the beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami.
Yeah,
because, you know, this beautiful movement of Dawat-e-Islami is the movement of Quran and Sunnah, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by a person having this kind of company, having good company, then it would be easy for them to further enhance their character and conduct.
MashaAllah. Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we are talking about the blessed character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Mawlana Sahib had mentioned just a few things that are very practical that you and I can do. You don't need money to do it. You don't need contacts. So all you have to do is you need the willpower. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the very first step. If I'm stepping into the right direction, then inshallah ta'ala, I will reach my destination. Our destination is Madina Sharif. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islami has the platforms, the facilities, the courses, the classes, even online as well, to empower us with authentic Islamic knowledge and to give us constant motivation, upliftment and encouragement to practice upon the injunctions, the rules of the glorious Quran and the blessed Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not one that would engage in arguments or displaying arrogance or frivolous, unnecessary speech? Whatever he said was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he said, there was some beneficial thing in it, subhanallah. He would always warmly welcome people who came to see him with a smile on his face. This is part of his character. Yes, of course, we can't smile at a person who just lost a loved one. Then the person will think you gone crazy. But according to the occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always be smiling. When he went somewhere to visit, wherever he found space, he sat down there. He didn't wait to see if there's a nice special chair for me. No, because of his humbleness, that's part of his character. Displaying of humility, part of his character. We mentioned earlier about his generosity, his mercy, his bravery, his courage. Allahu Akbar. From whichever angle that you look at it, subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ideal role model. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would shake hands with somebody, did you know? He would not be the first one to withdraw his hands. Allahu Akbar. And talking about sympathy, empathy, it is true that many of us, we just sympathize like, sorry, I'm sorry for your loss. Or sorry, I apologize. But to really walk around in that person's shoes and look at it from their perspective, then that is leading to empathy, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He, subhanallah, gave attention to those who were orphans, those who didn't have fathers. He gave them, like in the story that we just heard, because he cared, he had concern, and he had sincerity as well. We have a beautiful segment where our Respected Mawlana Tabriz Sahib is going to be asking some students of Madrasatul Madina certain questions which would be based on our topic today.
Inshallah.
And then they're going to give the answers, inshallah. So stay tuned. Let's watch the segment and we'll continue and lead to conclusion, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya wal mursaleen sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya rasulullah as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya habiballah as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya nurullah alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Once again we are back with our segment, our quiz program, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Once again with the students of Faizani Madina in Durban, we are going to be commencing with our quiz program, just as we have in the very first segment asked questions regarding the magnificent Madinatul Munawwara. In today's segment, we are going to be asking some questions to our students from the Hifz Academy. But these questions will be in relation to our discussion as you are watching on Madini channel. Subhanallah, the supreme role model, who is our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once again, both our teams are present, alhamdulillah, and let's check up if they are ready. Are y'all ready, teams? Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dear viewers, are y'all ready? Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Here we go with our questions, and they are, of course, with regards to the sublime character of our Aqa and Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we go on for the first question, and for each answer, the teams will be given 10 points, inshallah. 10 points each for each team that gives us the correct answer. And the first question is, did the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever burst out aloud in laughter? Your time starts now. MashaAllah. Team A has raised their hands. Jim.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never laugh loud. He would rather smile. And the beloved companions of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would on many occasions seem smiling, and they would also act upon this.
Kya baat hai, what a beautiful answer. Absolutely correct, dear viewers. This is the andaz and the unique style of our Aqa and Master. As Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, jiski taskeen se rote huye has pade, jiski taskeen se rote huye has pade, us tabassum ki aadat pe laakho salam, Mustafa jaane rahmat pe laakho salam, shamae bazme hidayat pe laakho salam. Team A has 10 points. MashaAllah, mubarak to you all. Let's go on to the next question. And the question is, describe the blessed walking of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your time starts now. Oh, mashallah, we have both the teams who have raised their hands. And let's go to team B, inshallah.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would firmly plant his ground, plant his legs into the ground, and it would seem as he's descending from a highest place.
Allahu Akbar, the answer is correct. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. This is the mu'jiza of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst his specialities and his uniqueness, subhanallah. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be approaching from a distance, Sahaba Ikrama alayhi muridwan had stated, it would seem as if he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is descending from a height. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. And dear viewers of Madini channel, there is so much more to learn about the blessed seerah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both the teams have given the correct answers. Both the teams are sitting with 10 points each, mashallah. Let's move on to the next question. And the question is, did our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever like itr, fragrance? MashaAllah, I have seen that the right side have raised their hands first, G.
Yes, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam liked fragrance. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will never reject a gift of fragrance.
Subhanallah, absolutely correct, dear viewers. Fragrance was the favorite of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though in his Mubarak perspiration, there was such fragrance that used to emanate that there was no fragrance in the world that could match the blessed fragrance that used to emanate from the blessed body of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we move on to the next question. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked into a mirror, what dua did he recite? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We noticed that both sides have raised their hands. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I want to ask on the left side inshallah and see what our brothers on the left side mentioned. Ji.
Oh Allah, just as you purified my parents, purify my character also.
Oh Allah Azza wa Jal.
Just as you beautified my appearance, beautify my character also.
Just as you have beautified my appearance, beautify my character as well. The answer is correct. Subhanallah. This is the dua of viewers. Look at how beautiful Islam is. When you look into the mirror, you should make this dua. May Allah Kareem make us all beautiful from the inner, just as we are beautiful from our appearance. May Allah Kareem beautify our character as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what are our points looking at? Subhanallah, our points are 20 on the right and 20 on the left as well. MashaAllah, both our teams have 20 points. It's a draw for now. Let's see what happens further into the program. The question is, how did the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam apply kohl, surma in his eyes? MashaAllah, team A, raise their hands.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would apply the kohl 3 times in both of his blessed eyes. And sometimes he would apply the kohl stick twice, once in each eye.
The answer is correct. Subhanallah, mashaAllah. Now we have 30 points on the team A side and 20 points with team B. Let's go to the next question. How did the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak? The time starts now. Subhanallah, I'm sure the viewers of Madinah channel noticed both their hands raised at the same time, but now I'm going to go on the left. G, labbaik.
Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always guard his tongue and only speak of beneficial things.
Subhanallah, the answer is correct, dear viewers. This is the andaz and the style of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would only speak that which is correct, dear viewers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak less. It is his sunnah that we should also try and protect our tongues, dear viewers. Subhanallah. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would only speak that which is the kalam and the wahi, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. But yet he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak in limitations, dear viewers. As Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says in his poetry, what does he state? Woh zaba jisko sab kun ki kunji kahe, woh zaba jisko sab kun ki kunji kahe, uski nafiz hukumat pe lakho salam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's move on to the next question. What does al-Amin and as-Sadiq mean? Allahu Akbar. And I'm going to go to the right side.
The Al-Amin and Al-Sadiq were the two titles of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This meant the trustworthy and the truthful.
Subhanallah. And the answer is correct, dear viewers. It was a draw just before this question, and now this answer gives our team A 40 points and team B is left with 30 points. Allahu Akbar. We move on to the next question, and let's see if this is going to be answered by team B. Oh, team A, describe the blessed character of our Aqa and Master from the Holy Quran Park. Subhanallah. Okay, I want the teams to recite a verse from the Quran. If only you could recite a verse, give us the answer to it. Your time starts now. Team B, team A, both have their hands raised right now. And I think since you have 40 points, it's only fair if you ask our team B this question. G.
Indeed, for you, following the Messenger of Allah is the best.
Okay, I would request for the verse to be recited once again by the next team. The brother has given the correct translation. However, the ayah has to be recited again. And let's see if another chance is given to ask the very same question. And team A also raised their hands in the very beginning. Let's see if they were recited correctly.
لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ.
Once again.
Indeed, for you, following the Messenger of Allah is best.
Subhanallah. So we would say that the ayah was recited right by the team A, and the translation was also given correctly by team B. So we would say 5 points on each side, mashallah. Team B sits with 35 points and team A sits with 45 points. Subhanallah, and this is becoming very much interesting. Now we go on to the next question, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Describe the blessed character of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if this can be described by the narration mentioned by Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, it would be better. MashaAllah, team B did raise their hands first. Let's see if they get this correct. G.
Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Quran.
Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha had said that the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
was the Quran.
Jawab bilkul durust diya hai, subhanallah. As in the hadith that his character is the Holy Quran Pak, subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, Kon deta hai dene ko muh chahiye? Kon deta hai dene ko muh chahiye? Dene wala hai sacha hamara nabi. Kya khabar kitne tare khile chup gaye par na dube na duba hamara nabi. So that gives our team B from 35 points another 10 more, and that is 45 points, mashallah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And now we go on to the last question. This question will actually set the ball in motion. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Right now team B sits with 45 points and team A also sits with 45 points, alhamdulillah, which is a draw. And perhaps now the last question will basically, inshallah, azza wa jalla, set the ball in motion and make it easier for us, inshallah, azza wa jalla, to know which is the winning team. And now we are going to ask this question and we're hoping that inshallah the right answer will be given. Allahu Akbar. Are you all ready?
Yeah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the question is, how would he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respond when any family or sahabi called him, your time starts now. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the left side has raised. I noticed team A was about to raise their hands because I know they have the answer to this question. But let's see if team B gives the correct answer.
Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha said, there was nobody more polite than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would respond labbaik by whoever calls him from his companion and family.
So there was no one more polite than the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would respond by saying
labbaik,
labbaik, when people would call out to him, subhanallah. And what else did you mention?
Whoever should call him from his companion and family.
Whoever would call him from his companions and family members, he would respond by saying labbaik. Is the answer correct?
Ji.
The answer is correct? Jiha. And the answer is absolutely correct. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. 55 points for team B and 45 points for team A, mashallah. It seemed to me as if, mashallah, they both were on par and were giving the correct answers. In episode 1, we had team A that won. In episode 2, we had team B, which has won, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And these were the questions in relation to our discussion that you have been watching on Madani channel. May Allah Kareem bless you. Make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal for istiqamat. We say mubarak to our honorable Mawlana Nushad Attari and Sayyid Muhammad Madani for the program which they are, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, right now on. And they are, alhamdulillah, sharing their Madani pearls with us. And the program's name is the Supreme Role Model. May Allah Kareem bless them to grow from strength to strength and continue spreading the fragrance of Islam throughout the globe. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm sure you also enjoyed that wonderful segment of Q&A. The idea is to spread knowledge. Dawood Islam is based on this, on the teachings of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayhi. Dawood Islam's focus is in empowering the ummah out there, subhanallah azza wa jal. Well, as we draw towards our conclusion, we are discussing the great character of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We discuss many different angles regarding his great generosity, regarding his mercy, his tolerance, his forbearance, regarding his patience. We talked about certain ways that a person can develop their character by being in good company, sure, by reading the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. You see, we need to become a reading nation again. We were always a reading nation, but now with all of these different distractions that have come through our lives, we get lazy to read. And reading is one of the supreme ways of learning, by reading, subhanallah. And for this purpose, Maktabatul Madina, which is the bookshop and publications department of Dawood Islami, has many books available. In fact, hundreds of books available in English, and many of which are translated into over 30 different languages for the benefit of the ummah. Mawlana Sahib, as we conclude, any parting Madani pearls?
Alhamdulillah, Munasab. There is one beautiful piece of advice that we read, you know, through Islamic literature, and that is, we know that to smile is sunnah, and one should implement this beautiful habit of smiling. But at the same time, we should also realize that, you know, those who smile, those are the same ones that could harm us. How? Is because sometimes they may smile at you, but for a personal benefit.
Okay.
Their smiling is not with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And you know, this is where kindness gets mistaken. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most kind.
Right.
Even for those who harmed him, yet he was kind to them. And this is real kindness. Not where, you know, someone gives you something, then you gift him something back. Someone does you a favor, you do the favor back. Someone does good to you, you do good back to them. No, that is not real kindness. Real kindness is where someone doesn't smile at you, you still smile at them. Someone harms you, you still be good towards them. So this is real kindness, which we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever, you know, we show kindness, whenever we smile, which is a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let it be for the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, they say practice what you preach.
Yes.
And really, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached, he practiced.
Subhanallah.
There's a summary of a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that there are three qualities that if it is found in a person, then on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take his accountability with ease, and out of his mercy will enter him into paradise.
Allah.
The Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are those qualities? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, give to the person who deprives you, mend ties with the one who cuts ties with you, and forgive that person who oppresses you. And each of these qualities was found in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
100%.
Found in him to the best, because he had, and he had the greatest and the most beautiful of qualities. If you have to study, don't listen to people out there. Learn, read, come back to reading, seeking of knowledge from authentic sources and scholars. You will come to a realization. What realization? That like my Rasul, there is nobody else. Like my Rasul, there's no other role model, there's no other hero, there's no other leader who can compare to him. And this I'm not saying out of emotion.
Right.
Although we have that emotion in us, that's our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm saying this by presenting facts to you, to the person who is sensible enough to understand it and who has the courage, especially to the detractors out there, to learn about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not from the news, not from inauthentic sources, but read about who he was and read about his character. And imbue and make the sunnah become an embodiment of the sunnah in your life. By doing this, do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it to earn thawab. And you'll see its benefits in this world, in the grave, and the hereafter as well. May Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring us back to the teachings of Al-Quran and bring us back to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow in his footsteps. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. A model for all in life's every degree.
The Supreme.